Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn but are so grateful that we did. I am currently recording this in an airport lounge after my brother's wedding, so please enjoy my terrible voice. But today we are discussing diagnoses. I, for one, am a huge advocate for a diagnosis. It has helped me understand so many things about myself and rid a ton of shame. It can also be incredibly eye-opening and frightening and spark a sort of existential crisis as we start to digest it. Pierre and I are discussing all this and more today. Okay, so it is August 2022. I am so terrible at every single time I introduce these and somehow bring it back to myself and my own situation in that time. But my birthday is in August and I had one of the worst birthdays of my life in August 2022. So thanks, Pierre, for making me relive this moment.
It's my pleasure. What happened?
Oh, it's a whole thing. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. That sound bad.
It was terrible. And okay. I have a history of bad birthdays. But it is August 2022 and we are situated in Edinburgh. And yes. What's the weather like in Edinburgh in August 2022?
It was pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as intermittently rainy as it normally is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was sunny on this particular day.
Well, it is sunny in August 2022. And in this moment, Pierre, why do you think you've got no friends?
Well, it was more so there was a crazy moment that happened in City Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
If you know Edinburgh at all.
I've been there a lot, but like I wouldn't know.
So it's on Blair Street near Monkey Barrel. So Monkey Barrel Comedy Club is my venue.
Yeah.
And next to one of the main venues, there's a sort of, it's like a diner. It's got like a kind of jukebox and a kind of mannequin of Elvis or whatever.
Can you get a hamburger or a Coke in there?
You can.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
how quirky.
A malt. Share with your best gal. Yeah. So I was in there and what I would do is I would go in there and mainline black coffee to try and get my shit together before my show at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the ending of my show, spoiler alert, back then, and if you're going to come see me anytime in Leicester Square Theatre, the ending of my show was based around the fact that I'd done a preview, a practice gig in Bristol.
Right.
A few months before. And I'd been heckled by a guy. Because I was saying something about, the show is called Why Can't I Just Enjoy Things? About mm-hmm. how I don't enjoy most things.
Mm-hmm.
Or the things you're supposed to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy heckled me and said, "You just sound like you have Asperger's." He's like, "I've got Asperger's and you sound like me." And it was very confident, which is, you know, not unrelated.
That stranger from the audience diagnosed
me. Yeah, like a sniper, yeah.
Oh my God.
And he was bang on, to be fair. I looked into it and he was right.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, yeah. So then that became the ending to the show with 2 months to go before the Fringe. Because I was like, well, that is the answer, because it turned out that all my stand-up had accidentally been just like the kind of musings and irritations of someone who's just not normal.
Wow.
Which you think is kind of all stand-up, actually. They're all freaks.
Mm.
But this is more specific than that, because there are books about this. And so I was trying to like do the show and research this at the same time, because I got my formal diagnosis in June, I think.
Hell yeah.
And so then I was sitting in this cafe and I'd been recommended by the person who gave me the diagnosis. She said, "Oh, this is a good book by a guy called Tony Atwood." And so it's a little slightly out of date, from the noughties, but basically it was like a whole rundown of what it is and what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And what was fucked up about it was I was in this cafe and I thought, I'll read some of this while I drink my black coffee so I can do my show with enough energy. And the list, the description of what it's the condition is, was so bang on that it was like reading my own diary.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so terrifying. Yeah. Specifically enough, like down to the point where it said, "Oh, they'll be good at impressions from a young age." And the mother will particularly say, like, they had an excerpt from this other unpublished book of memoir by someone with the condition, and they're saying, "Oh, my mom always said I was good at impressions, and if she didn't know who I was talking about at school, I would just do a quick impression of them, and they would know." My mom would know, would go, "Oh, right, now I know who you mean. I did that when I was 7 as well."
Oh, no, shut up.
Yeah,
shut
yeah.
up. So a lone voice, I can only assume, did you speak to this man afterwards, or was it just a spirit from the audience?
I spoke to him a bit on stage and stuff, and I kind of nodded at him afterwards, but it was a bit awkward.
I would just love the fact if everyone else in the room was like, "Who is he talking to? There's no one there."
Yeah, yeah. It's just a mannequin of Elvis.
What on earth? Okay, and then you read this thing and it literally pinpointed everything.
Yeah, there's like a paragraph in a medical textbook that's about a private in-joke from my early childhood with my own mother.
That's,
and it's just like nailing it.
Insanity.
The closest thing I can compare it to is finding a you're walking down the street and you just see like a kind of diary on the floor.
Mm.
You go, "Huh, what?" And you pick it up and it's just your own diary. And you go, "What?"
It's like
you don't
even
have a diary. I haven't written this.
It's an episode of Black Mirror.
Genuinely. And I was sitting in this cafe and my idea was I read on my phone.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're fucking Captain Bookbag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to be Captain Bookbag.
Who does?
So I was reading it on my phone and I thought, I'll highlight the bits that are useful to me. And it ended up, I was thinking, like, it would be faster to highlight the bits that don't apply. That's how much of this is just like...
Otherwise the book is just one big highlighter.
It was like some part, something from The Matrix where you meet the architect. He just tells you everything about your life.
Yeah.
His fucking Kentucky Fried, his Colonel face.
Oh!
KFC Colonel face.
My God.
It was terrifying. And so I sat in this cafe, I was like, feeling like my sense of self like dissolve, like a fucking... like a meditating monk, just going, "Oh, I don't really exist. I'm just in this book."
Mm-hmm.
Well, time to do a show.
And off I go.
Yeah, so I was doing this whole Edinburgh show in this, like, in the middle of this like weird existential crisis that was still kind of like a mild existential crisis, because it wasn't like I'd seen someone die in front of me or whatever.
Yeah,
I'd read a little textbook.
Or seen your doppelganger across the road doing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, or seen someone just fly into the sky. No one else saw it. Or something mental. Instead, I just read a little book. But I was still just in this like fog of like, oh, I'm not really real. I'm in a book.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
I just had to do comedy for an hour.
Things.
And socialize.
These things that I thought...
defined me as an individual.
Defined me and made me who I was actually belong to something else in a strange way.
Yeah, belong to a relatively broad category, sort of, but probably around 1%.
Yeah.
Of the population ish, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
You used to think 1, maybe it's more like 5.
I mean, there's so much to unpack here, because one of my main things, and actually, I had this conversation with my brother in the car on Saturday, and it's one of the first times I've really held my own in a conversation and managed to sort of win an argument.
Okay.
But I am a big advocate for a diagnosis.
Sure.
I think that it's a very powerful thing to get, and that a lot of people go, oh, but then it gives you an excuse to just blame everything on your diagnosis. And I was like, well, no, but that's just a dick thing to do. And also, if you're doing that, then already it's not good. But being able to go, oh, I have this thing, and read a book where it literally pinpoints everything about you.
Yeah.
What's strange is that when I got it for BPD, CPTSD, ADHD, I was like, oh my gosh, thank God this isn't, because those things weren't being used to my advantage. It was just like a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, no, there's not like a...
Yeah.
At least I'm good at chess.
Yeah. And then being given the opportunity to take responsibility for it and move forward, I found so powerful. But the, I guess if, was a lot, so a lot of your stand-up was based around who you are without your knowledge of you having this diagnosis.
Sort of incidentally.
Right.
So like I have a routine that it's not filmed anywhere, but it's about food textures and stuff, which is just like literally textbook fucking... But it was hidden by the fact that I moved to the UK from South Africa when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so any kind of issues I had could be attributed to that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not used to the clothes, the weather, the food or whatever.
The clothes!
Yeah, I didn't like wearing jumpers or trousers.
Oh, actually, yeah, that makes sense.
Or even socks, really.
I thought you'd be like, the clothes are just made out of dilute. I've never known what cotton is.
Yeah, I know, just animal skins for me. No, I hated being dressed for cold weather.
Yeah.
So I would insist on wearing a t-shirt in like fucking 2 degrees.
All right.
Because I would rather be cold than have like something like cuffs on my wrist.
Yeah. I hear you. But that's
all textbook.
Can you tell me a little bit about the food textures? I'm really interested to hear that.
Oh, so the routine is I won't do the whole bit, but it's basically just about how all the food in the UK is wet.
It is.
Yeah, it's all soaking.
If I think about a pie, yes. Yep.
Even a pie, they just go, well, we can't just have a pie. You have to put gravy on the fucking pie.
I mean, why
it's gravy in the pie. Leave it alone.
What about like fish and chips if you don't have the mushy peas?
I would pay not to have the mushy peas. I would pay a ransom.
But then you have vinegar on top of it as well, so I guess it makes it wet.
Even then,
is there any...
This stuff should be on the side.
Is there any UK dry food that you can think of?
Dry food?
Like shredded wheat.
Oh, yeah, dry. I don't know if any of it's dry. Crisps? It's probably the only dry food people tolerate. Even then, they have it with beer.
Oh, sorry.
Wet. Gross. So they had all these issues that are basically just the complaints of an autist. Hot tip for anyone listening. That's why it seems like there's fucking autism growing on trees these days. It's because you can't have Asperger's anymore. There'll be people shouting at their radio set.
Really?
They cancelled it. It's over.
They cancelled it? Okay. For what reason? Just because...
Hans Asperger may or may not have been a bit too affiliated with the Nazi party.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I did read about this. Sorry, dear listeners. I did read about this. Yeah, and we've all gone, no.
That's hard to say. And also, he didn't name the condition after himself. Someone in the 80s did, because his diaries weren't translated until the 80s into English. Anyway. Also, they think it's ableist to be like, you have the autism flavor that means you can work at NASA. And the rest of you have bad autism.
Yeah.
Into the corner.
Categorizing autism into good and bad categories.
But then they're still kind of fucking it up in a way, because they're going to have to categorize it in terms of care needs, right? So now that's what they've done.
Yeah.
So you have level 1, 2, and 3.
Right, okay.
Level 1 is Asperger's.
Right.
They've told people with Asperger's, like, you can now convert your currency, you know. It's a 1-to-1 conversion ratio for Asperger's to ASD level 1. And then ASD level 2 is like, oh, you need a bit of help.
Yeah.
And ASD level 3 is like, you probably need care or have to stay at home or whatever, very serious.
And so how did you go about getting your diagnosis?
Just
after you heard
the
disembodied voice in Bristol.
Yeah, well, he was right in the front row, like classic autism. He didn't give a shit. Fair enough. Well, I Googled it before, but I'd never found I'd seen these descriptions and it's always just like Rain Man or or like really crazy people.
Mm.
And I was always like, nah.
But it's the extreme. It's the extreme. And this is the way these things are treated. It's like it is a, such a polarized response of going, it is either this or it's nothing.
It's badly phrased questions as well. So when I did find, there's a website called embrace-autism.com where they've put all their diagnostic tests and you can kind of just do it to yourself as long as you follow their guidelines.
Mm.
But for example, one of the questions is, you know, like one of those ones where it's like fully agree, agree a bit, disagree, massively disagree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The four scale.
Yeah.
And the question is, I hate hugs. Right? So like, I hate hugging. I don't like hugging.
But it doesn't give you the context of the hug.
Doesn't give you the context, but also it's very specific to hugging.
Right.
I like hugs. They're fine. What this question should have been, and this person who is has autism and is herself a psychiatrist, I think, she's annotated it and she's gone, this question should more accurately read, there are popular forms of physical affection that I cannot stand.
Right. Yeah.
And that marks
you
out. And that is true because holding hands can get in the bin.
Yeah.
If you don't like holding hands, I think it's fucked up.
Get in the bin.
It's the most stressful, unpleasant thing.
To be, I kind of agree with you.
Holding
on that
hands
one.
Is mental. I would rather hold noses. It's as inconvenient to walk around with clutching each other's nose in the street.
What else are you like?
Oh, the holding hands is really the main thing.
Yeah.
I don't like people's face being really close to mine. They're looking right at my face.
Oh,
it feels like they want to know something.
Yeah.
They've got a question.
Yeah.
There's a stress there. Things like that. So, but I was answering the hug question. Like, no, I fully disagree.
Yeah.
And I was fucking up the results. And if you have enough questions as badly phrased as that, you're not going to get accurate results.
But this is so stupid. And this is exactly what I mean. It's this kind of broad statement. And it's like, which makes it so difficult.
And none of the questionnaires were designed by people with the condition itself.
Oh, fuck's sake.
So now they're changing that. It's all getting better, whatever. But so I found this website, very helpful, da da da. And I thought, well, you know, and I did the tests.
Just love it at the end. It goes, congratulations.
Yeah, ooh. A big pop-up comes up. It sends you a link to do a maths degree.
Sends your job application to NASA.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Google. So I did the thing and I thought, okay, I'll just see what my test results are. And I scored like median, like way above the threshold, but not the highest, like between minimum and highest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, fuck, okay. But I thought, well, maybe, you know, I think these are quite reasonable answers.
Mm.
So I sent it around and a lot of people got like, you know, they were like, oh, I said, what did you get? And they were like, oh, I got 17. I was like, 17? I got 124. And I hadn't quite realized the gulf. You're like, oh, fucking hell. And the maximum score would be like 240. So I'm like halfway up. And they're just in this little normal puddle at the start, the shallow end.
The shallow end.
I called my mum to do it. She got like 8. It's like, mum, you're the most normal person in history. Apparently. Yeah, so that, and then you have that, and then you've got a pretty good reason to just go and pay someone to poke your brain. Because if you go on the waiting list, it's going to take 4 years.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but I was able to just skip that.
Which is so, I mean, that it is amazing to tell you that, because getting on the waiting list for anything is just utter hell.
Oh, I looked into it, but no.
No, it's hell.
I'd become... who'd have thought, quite obsessive about this. And I really needed an answer. So I was like, fuck this. And even the private place that I went to, it was still like, oh, we've kind of got a slot, maybe.
Mm.
It was crazy. Because there's so much more awareness of it now. And the number of people who do it for adults is lower than the number of people who do it for children. And almost no one does it for children.
Mm. Mm.
So, yeah.
Do you find, like... despite the fact that you sort of read this thing and went, oh my gosh, my identity actually, what I thought was me is actually wrapped up in this.
Yeah, I'm like a ghost thing. In a book. Yeah.
Did you?
I'm Voldemort.
It's Tom Riddle's diary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I've accidentally bought a Horcrux on Kindle.
We talk about Horcruxes like more than a lot on this podcast, which is quite funny. Did you in any way find it like some kind of relief?
Yes, in the sense that one of the other reasons I thought, okay, this is worth looking into, is that the more I read about it from people who had it, or more like current versions of what it's like to have it, e.g. written by people with it, not people without it. I was like, ah, this is the only thing that's like a unified field theory, where any other condition or problem I might have or not have has a hole in it. And you go, yeah, but what about that though? Because I don't agree with that's a massive hole.
Yeah.
This one just covered it all.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, fuck. Okay. So it must be the case. So it's nice to have a catch-all reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because any other time I've thought, why do I do this or not do this or like this or not like this?
Yeah.
Any explanation other than that's always had a shakier foundation.
Yeah.
You go, no, that's, I don't think that applies. And I'd look at, and I go, no, I disagree. Whereas with this, I looked and when I read the more accurate accounts from people with it, not like these crazy Rain Man medical accounts from the 90s.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that is kind of me.
You can't find a loophole in it. You're like, yeah, exactly. Oh,
yep. And I go, yeah, well, what about? And I'd Google it and it would come up. Like,
straight away. Fucking fuck it though. They should have turned me at every corner.
Yes.
You
are it's a relief in that sense. It's less of a relief in the sense that, like, there's no cure, there's no pill.
Yeah.
It's not, it's your neurotype. It's like being an alien.
This is what I was going to ask about. Do you, I wonder if it's the right terminology, but do you identify as being neurodivergent? And
I don't know. I mean, I'm quite suspicious of too much identifying.
Yeah.
You just are, yeah. That's the whole point, really, I guess, of something like ASD is that you just are, whether you like it or not.
I think that's the difference. And it's really important to flag that is who you are. With something like I have CPTSD, there are ways to really process that and ways to combat it.
Mm-hmm.
Were you given any tools or, you know, advice surrounding anything? Was it affecting your life in a negative way?
In the sense that, well, first of all, if you get an adult diagnosis, officially you get nothing.
Right.
They just say, you got it, anyway.
They don't give you a certificate, it's boom.
They give you an email or a PDF or whatever. But only if you pay for some fancy brain doctor like I did.
Yeah.
Then they give you like a reading list or whatever. And then they offer you, we'll do follow-up sessions if you want.
And they go, good luck, son, on your way.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and that's the luxury version. So if you're an adult, they go, well, you made it this far, bye. Which, in a way, fair enough if you're dealing with limited resources, but it's not what anyone would want. You're kind of stuck, really, because you won't change. Your brain won't change. It's just coping.
Yeah.
It's about how you cope with being, you know, 4 feet tall. There's not some way that you can just not be 4 feet tall.
So anything
that you do is necessarily masking or a coping strategy.
Yeah.
So.
God, this is really interesting.
There's a nickname for Asperger's, which is wrong planet syndrome. It's like being an alien just on the wrong planet.
Right.
And that's probably the best non-medical way of describing it, in the sense that, like, you are just sort of wandering about going, yeah, I don't get that. That's not how I would do that. That's not what I think is good
or
interesting.
Yeah.
And you are just so comprehensively outvoted that you are just essentially Spock wandering about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone else doesn't agree, clearly, because that's why you don't fit into society very much.
Do you know what's...
And I fit in a lot compared to most people.
Yeah.
I'm like on the fucking elite.
Yeah.
I'm in the SAS of fitting in.
Which is why you were on the SAS program with Spencer and Lucy the Historian.
That's it, yeah. But that's why, and I'm still weird.
Like...
So, you know.
But I think it's so great that we are discussing these things far more, because I remember being a child and being, and if I was told that someone was autistic, I remember being quite frightened because I didn't understand and I didn't know what that meant.
Well, when I was a kid, I would always confuse autism and like Downs and schizophrenia, and you just know that there's all these names that people throw around that mean like brackets serious brain thing.
Bracket serious brain
beware
thing. yeah
I mean, well, that's going to be part of the problem going forward, is that everyone's going to, the public is going to start noticing that there's a lot more autism around than there used to be.
Yeah.
And they're going to start going like, well, they don't, either they're going to say, well, autism's way milder than we thought, or these guys don't really have it, because they don't know that Asperger's has been rebranded.
Right. Right.
So I understand why they rebranded Asperger's, but as with any brand name, you're losing a lot of awareness by changing the name.
Losing a lot of customers there.
Yeah, well, genuinely, like, lots of people, had, like, they only started dishing out Asperger's in the 90s, in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by now, lots of people had managed to kind of get a kind of loose social awareness of what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the bin now. They're going to have to start from scratch.
God, that is quite tough.
And
actually,
now you're starting to say to people, no, 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 it's all autism, but there's these levels, right? And already you've lost 90% of the population.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want to fucking learn about this.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with my life.
I already had to do this thing. I don't want to have to fucking do it again.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about your levels.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in this.
It's not fucking Candy Crush.
No, I'm barely compassionate enough to look people in the eye on public transport. I don't want to hear about your levels. Whereas, like, they might have heard of Asperger's through some TV show in 2003.
Yeah.
That's gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
So that's why it's still useful to say Asperger's and then explain, which is what I did.
Yeah, which here. Is what you did, thank you.
Because it's much easier.
But, like, yeah, I think that if you'd gone, I am autism level one, I would have been like, that's the category above Asperger's. Because,
well, that's it. Or you'd go, oh, one is the worst one, because it's first.
It's first.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very silly. And they're going to have to, if it was ableist to have a different name for level one, then why isn't it not ableist to have numbers? They're still differentiating. So if we're going to get pissy about differentiation... But you need differentiation, because otherwise the NHS is going to have to give severe care levels to people like me who don't need them. Or at least offer me them. And I don't need them. And it's a waste of money and time to offer me them. So we need differentiation.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Did you... So one thing I found when I got my diagnosis, I was better able to forgive myself.
Yes.
For past behavior that had seemed like super, I don't want to use the word unhinged. I was called unhinged a lot, but like things that, I don't think I've said it on this podcast, but a lot of you wonderful listeners have gotten in touch saying that I have a very soothing voice, and I have been called everything under the sun, and soothing is definitely not okay. One of them.
One last night.
A soothing one.
A friend of mine. Yeah.
Very soothing. Yeah. Lindel Truffles from Lind. for all your voiceover agents out there. But before I was diagnosed, I was really unwell. I was really, really super unwell. And I was like, I'm just a shit person and I can't stop this. And I go into these, I had what I now know are like episodes, which I almost like blacked out from. I don't really know what happened. It was like being another person.
Yeah.
And before I was diagnosed, I was like, oh God, I'm just a fucking terrible person. I'm awful. I'm horrible. No, I never did anything to anyone else, like with a malice, but I couldn't control it. And then when I got this diagnosis, I was like, oh fucking hell. Like, I have been living in survival mode hugely. And it wasn't just because I'm shit. It's because I was really unwell. And I don't want to sort of put, autism in the same category as being unwell, because I was very depressed as well. But
unwellness is to an extent created by context.
Mm, yes, exactly. Yes. Well, that was good.
They always say... In this book, they said, if you're worried about... Because this Tony Atwood book's quite good. It's aimed at... physicians, parents of the kids and the people themselves.
Nice.
So it's quite well written.
Yeah.
And he's saying, if you take your kid and his social issues and leave him to play on his own in his room, you will see his social issues magically disappear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they're created by the context of being around the other kids.
Howdy,
they're not inherent.
That is really good.
Which is true. Although I did have a similar thing in the sense that what I had now was a reasonable explanation for something that previously had no explanation.
Exactly.
Where someone would say, but why? And I go, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't
know,
because I can tell you one thing. People don't like when you don't like holding hands.
Yeah.
You just go, I think it's insane and gross. Then they go, they take that personally.
Yeah. and your hinge date is like, well, fuck you.
Or anyone, they're not happy with it. Oh, why can't you just do it? And you go, because fine.
How many people have been asking you to hold hands?
Everyone, everywhere I go. I've just got very nice hands to hold.
I'm going to do it when I come to the Leicester Square Theatre see you. Hold my hand.
Only after. Not before. I won't be able to do the show. I'll be so furious. Yeah, people take it personally, whereas if I'd had in the past an explanation of going like, because I'm mental, I hate this thing. And
if you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah. You have to leave me alone about
it. Yeah.
Then maybe they would have left me alone about it. But instead, they took it personally.
They probably would have called you fucking brave. They'd be like, wow, it's like, it's...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's... The trouble is that there's no second step reason why.
Yeah.
It's just neurotype. So you just go, it just is. It's just a thing I don't like.
To be honest, though, if I went down the street with someone I was courting and, like, went to... take their hand and they went no, like I would take it very personally.
Of course,
like, I'd be like, oh my god, I'm just disgusting.
Well, of course, it's you know, you learn it's not good to rear back in disgust. But that's the thing, is that you just learn that this is a thing that you hate, that you have to do all the time.
Yeah,
and that you need to somehow deal with the fact that while you're doing it, you feel anxious and tense and unpleasant.
Yeah,
and there is no acceptable explanation for that. So it's like a kind of weird hidden problem.
But that's really hard. Where you just have
to go, hello, yes, nice to see you. You know, just complete like...
Literally like grin and bear it.
You're being undercover, basically, yeah.
That's
masking.
That's really must have been so hard with something...
There are worse problems.
No, I mean, but like...
It was annoying.
It was annoying, but also because...
It was the challenge equivalent of having a loud fridge. Easy to bear for a few minutes, but really annoying over the course of years and years and years.
Just annoying.
Background hum of irritation.
But like, okay, so Tom Lucy the other day was discussing how he had, this is veering right off, had a really tight foreskin.
Oh.
He had a really tight foreskin. And was when he had sex, was like, it's so painful.
Because it wouldn't go.
Because it was just like, he was in so much pain. And then was like, everyone's going on and on about sex and how it's meant to feel really good. And I just fucking hate it.
Yeah.
And then and then when he got this thing, he was like...
trapped penis.
He got a trapped penis and he got late circumcised.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Tom Lucy, I love you so much. Thank you for letting me tell this. I mean, he's done it on...
He literally did it last week.
So he's fine. And then he got late circumcised. And then afterwards, it's like, whoa! This
the
is
new
amazing.
Me.
I mean, for a few months, apparently it was really painful. But then like, yeah, but then I afterwards... Bet. But like him...
walking around like a shampoo ad. Confident.
Free of dandruff.
And glossy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No polo neck on.
Yeah.
But like, I imagine it's not the same, but going, everyone really likes this thing and I don't like it.
Yeah, I think this is shit. I think this popular thing is shit.
Why? What's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong?
Well, luckily, in some ways, for a lot of it, I was always aware that I was in the minority, but I never that too worried that I was wrong. Mm. I just knew that I was socially wrong.
Socially wrong.
Like, no, I'm right. Because I have no... Because it's the original way I feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As opposed to like an opinion I formed slowly.
Yeah, it's not something you developed. It's something that's always been there. Yeah, we'll get to this at the end of the thing. But often when I ask the question that I ask at the end, and people realize something about themselves, when something has always been there,
mm-hmm.
you don't acknowledge it as a thing. It's just a part of you.
Yeah.
And so like... If you are a naturally hard worker and always have been a hard worker, when someone goes, oh, you're a hard worker, you go, oh, I guess I am, but you don't acknowledge it.
Yeah.
And I guess it's similar. If you've always had this thing, then why would you acknowledge it as being any different? You didn't like hold hands and then go, oh, I don't think I like this. Maybe I can do it different ways. But like, it wasn't something that you developed because you once held someone's hand who...
And it went wrong.
Yeah, and it went wrong. There was like a muffin in it and it felt weird.
That would be weird. Would that be worse?
There was a load of wet English food in there.
Some mushy peas in a fist. Yeah, I wouldn't like that. Maybe a muffin would be okay.
Just like a big old fist in a pie.
Punching a pie would be very satisfying, actually. As long as it was a real pie, if it was just in a tin.
I can imagine that being a stag do.
Pie punching?
Special pie punching.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like axe throwing.
Yeah.
But wetter.
Yeah, we're going to go to Slovakia and punch pies. You can pay a guy. He's a baker. And actually, he makes more money letting stag do's punch pies than he does by selling them locally, which is depressing. That's globalization for you. You can request like colors and flavors and stuff. All the pies have the groom's face made out of pastry, and that's like a fun joke. And I think this is a good idea. I'd punch a groom pie to bond. With my yeah.
Oh my god.
Lovely. Any Slovakian men bakers listening?
Have I got the business idea for you?
Blokey pie punching.
Pie punch.
Pie punch. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Poor lum.
What's the Christmas party this year at Barclays? Punching pies?
We're going to go pie punching. It's a team building thing. None of us are looking forward to it.
Are there any vegans in the group? Yeah, yeah.
You can punch a... You can punch a big tofu pie. It's actually much harder to do. There'll be a complaint. But yeah, there was never like... It's what it's done is it's provided an explanation of like, I just don't like it. Or,
yeah.
Or you need to stop touching my forearm.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. Oh, I love forearms.
It's fine a bit, but there's a level where it's like, you know when like a little kid wants your attention and you're talking?
Yes.
And they're just tapping you?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of things are like that to me.
Yeah.
That feeling of like, stop it. Just go. Less than most, if I go on Reddit and I read the subreddits about Asperger's and whatever, I'm very mild. I've got diet fucking autism. It's fine. There are people out there who maybe are listening where it's much worse and they have more difficulties, but you know, it's still there a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, depends. It just depends.
Diet autism.
Yeah.
Yes. So has your, since getting this diagnosis, so has your set changed a lot?
Well, that's what the new, so I'm doing the new show at the Edinburgh Fringe this year.
Mm.
And a lot of it is about trying to figure out not only how to address it, but if there's any need. Because then I sort of thought, okay, well, what do you do? I looked back at all my stand-up and Fern Brady, who's a great stand-up, who's got a book out about her autism diagnosis.
Mm.
And to be fair to her, when she got hers years ago and I said, congrats, she was like, I think you have it as well. And I was like, fuck off, why?
How dare you?
Yeah, I was like, why? Because I'd known her for a long time. And she said, well, you know, you always know all this history stuff. And
was she trying to hold your hand as she said it?
No, she would never. She gets it. She knows. It's a kind of thing of like she said, like looking back at all her shows and all her stand-up, every show she ever did might as well have been titled Fern, Did You Know You Have Autism?
Right.
And I have exactly the same experience. So I look back at all these routines and I go, yep, tick, 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 tick.
It's
tick,
like a before
tick,
and an after.
Yeah. And then so I was like, oh, is it, can I still do stand-up the same way, knowing that these aren't just observational peccadillos and curious differences between me and the audience. They're medical differences or neurotype differences. And they can be predicted in advance with sufficient knowledge. So when I'm doing stuff about the wet food, the audience are like, this foreign guy sure has some amusing insights about our food.
About our cuisine.
Yeah, whereas, you know, if I'm just doing it like in that new context, they go, oh, who'd have thought? The autist has a problem with food.
It's not the same
at all. So then you go, oh, do I have to change the whole thing I do, or does it not matter? I went through a phase of thinking, do I have to do sort of more or less autistic stand-up?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, it was autistic the whole time without you even trying anyway. So
yeah,
it's beyond your control.
God, it's so interesting. I remember Helen Bauer said that she at one point was like, she was quite afraid to go to therapy and afraid to, you know, potentially look at medication. She was like, what if I'm not funny anymore? What if this ruins it? What if this is my thing that makes me funny?
Yeah, I think a lot of comedians think that, and I think they are wrong. They will always be funny. What they should really worry about is if they need it anymore.
Right.
Because a part of you has to really need the validation of a crowd laughing and saying, by virtue of their laughter, yes, that is funny.
Yes, we agree.
You are thinking of a funny thing now.
Yeah. You are amusing.
Yeah.
Whether it's like tangible evidence.
Loads of the funniest people I know aren't stand-ups.
Yeah, I know. Like me.
Exactly. Like my friend...
I'm so glad I got a laugh. Fuck me.
My friend Joe, who is an artist and who designed the Bud Pod logo of the podcast I do with Phil Wang, he's like one of the funniest people I've ever met, and he's not a stand-up. He doesn't feel the need. To go do that. And you need to have a lot of motivation to fucking drive 5 hours to Bumpton upon who gives a shit and do a gig to the town hall and then drive all the way back and not make that much money, really. So if you don't have motivation, maybe that, if you get too fulfilled, maybe that does get changed.
Yeah.
But you'll still be funny. I think they're wrong to worry about their nature changing. It's just going to be their needs.
The greatest compliment I can give anybody is being fearless. And I think you do have to be, you have to be pretty fucking gutsy to be a stand-up comedian.
Kind of. I think it's like you have to be gutsy to be a burglar. a bit. Or you just need to really want money for crack or something. Like, there's other things motivating you than bravery.
That's the only reason people burgle.
It's one of the big reasons. It's easy money.
It's
only crack. Whatever. For whatever it is you need the money for. But yeah, kind of. But then when I was doing it as a student or when I was new, you don't need to... I mean, this is an incredibly autistic thing I'm about to say, but nevertheless...
Go on.
You don't need to be fearful because what you're doing doesn't matter.
The only impact
is on your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And if you can have a correct assessment of your self-esteem
and
not let it in your head too much, then it's fine because none of these people will remember who you are.
Yeah.
None of them care.
No one's going to be thinking about this night.
Ever again.
Yeah.
You'd have to do something spectacular to fuck up to that extent.
Yeah,
you'd have to kill someone.
Yeah.
I've talked to people who come out of like the Comedy Store or wherever.
Yeah.
And they say, oh my God, there was that guy. And my face hurts. My stomach hurts. It was just like something in my life. And they're so touched by this guy's stand-up.
Yeah.
You go, wow, who was it? And they go, what's his name?
They can't remember the guy who changed their life.
He was Dutch or Japanese. I don't know. They don't remember a fucking thing about the guys who nail it.
Yeah.
They don't remember your shitty 5 minutes.
Dutch or Japanese.
Yeah. It's super frustrating to me because I always remember. And like if my sister or someone goes and sees comedy and loves it, they just don't know.
Yeah.
They just go, oh, I don't know, he had hair? And you go, okay. It doesn't, we're narrowed down a bit. Yeah. So it's not brave because you just go, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It might be a bit humiliating in the moment, but then the thing with stand-up is that you still get the adrenaline.
So
if you're getting addicted to the adrenaline, you'll still get it even if you suck.
Even if you suck, you are still getting it because you're getting it from that moment of kind of sucking.
Yeah, and there are some people who are addicted to being bad at comedy.
To being like really bombing it.
Yeah, genuinely.
if there is anyone listening who is maybe diagnosed a long time ago, maybe recently diagnosed, or is maybe, thinking about their personal traits and whether they might have autism's various levels, what would you say to them?
Go on the website.
Yeah.
Find these tests and dick around.
And also not the hug one. Or if it's the hug one,
well, it has annotations.
It's now on it. Okay.
Yeah, it has annotations. Just look into it. I mean, it might be worth it. Mm. I think it's worth it because you get an explanation and not an excuse, but at least a reason.
But like I said, it's a thing about just being able to forgive yourself a little bit. Or be just gentler on yourself. Be more like, give yourself just a little bit more, fucking hell. What's, bit, not easy. I don't know, what's it called when you go? But it's just basically going easy on yourself.
Yeah. And look, I mean, if you get it, it's up to you if you even tell anyone. It could just be a private thing that you're getting out of it.
Yeah.
If you find that it causes difficulties in your workplace, getting the piece of paper is the only way that you're going to get legal protection for your disability.
I don't know why I wasn't expecting it to go to legal protection, but it's true.
If you have an issue with someone near you who fucking chews loudly or you want them to just replace the buzzing light with a light that doesn't buzz or you don't think the dress code matches your fear of texture or whatever else, if you don't have a piece of paper, you're just a fussy little asshole.
Yeah, you're just a fussy dick.
So
just a fussy little asshole.
They might still mess with you and not like finding out, and like, look, if you could come a cropper and find out that your boss would like to fire you for this in secret because they reckon that this discovery makes you not a good worker, or all sorts of terrible things can happen to you by disclosing it.
Yeah.
But also you could get protection. So
it
could be worth it.
I had quite a big argument with someone over the summer, someone in my family who basically said to me that by talking about my personal disorders and things like, he was like, you're making yourself unemployable. And I was like, ow, fucking hell. That's really painful.
Yeah.
Kind of true, because there's still a lot of stigma surrounding it. So if you do go to your boss with this kind of bit of paper, it's worrying that they'll go, oh shit. And
that's true. I'd like to think it's less and less true.
Me too.
It depends on the industry as well. I mean, look, depending on the industry, they might be right. I mean, I should not be involved in some sort of fucking
NASA
be nice all the time thing, you know? Anything where you have to really soft soap a piece of advice.
You should not be working for the Samaritans.
No, unless the person calling is also autistic.
Yeah.
Somehow.
And you're like, I get you.
No, I get it. Here is a logical set of things to do to improve your situation as opposed to listening.
Maybe you should not be a nursery teacher.
No, I found it. During lockdown, I tried to do Twitch streaming and it was okay, but...
with video games.
Yeah. So my friend Glenn Moore, the comedian,
he's
like the nicest guy in the world, and he's a radio professional, trend journalist, radio newsreader. So Twitch is a kind of a good move for him because he can keep talking, keep the air filled, very smiley. Very nice. So he did really well with it. I did okay. I had a cluster of fans. Mm. But I'm not like...
What was your game choice?
Oh, I don't know. It's a Warzone with some friends of mine or something
Sick.
Like that.
Yeah.
Various things. But the point is that like I couldn't do that whole ha ha good morning.
Tom Hanks
friendliness.
Yeah.
Can't really do that.
I totally hear you.
It makes me feel insane.
Yeah. It's so inauthentic.
It's like being in the Truman Show, but I'm one of the extras, not Truman.
Oh my god.
That's what it feels like.
I watched the Truman Show like last week, weirdly.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
First time?
No, like ninth time, because it was one of the few videos that we had when I was at boarding school.
Oh yeah, the you really wear out whatever
really,
the options
we,
are.
We had the Truman
Show.
We had the Truman Show. We had Tom Brown's School Days, Stephen Fry, Alex Pettifer version. Oh my god, hello, my first crush, age 12. Holy shit.
My friends were in there.
Who?
They were like extras and stuff. And my friend Harry was the ginger kid.
Harry Michelle!
Yeah.
I know him!
Yeah, I know Harry.
Oh, yeah, he was amazing. They all ran through the cornfield at the end after that one died.
The dead one.
Yeah.
Dead sad kid.
That was, we watched it every single day. So we had that, we had The Truman Show, and we had Lizzie McGuire, the movie.
Oh, wow.
Banger.
Bloody hell. That's quite a trio.
Mm.
That's quite a vibe that those three movies create together.
That's literally what we had.
Tragic Victorian childhood, life as a simulation.
Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
Lizzie McGuire goes to Rome.
Yeah. Right. They're prepping you for something.
Is there any part of you that wishes that you'd got that diagnosis earlier?
Well, I learned to sort of socialize and mask, and there's a lot of people online who say things like all adjustments that you make are masking and unacceptable, which I think is ridiculous. Like, it can be true, as in being forced to do something you hate. Yes, that's not acceptable. That's not nice.
Mm.
But like, I've cured my picky eating.
Right.
I cured it when I was a teenager without meaning to. Just through exposure.
Through exposure. Okay.
Yeah, just being like, well, I have to eat this because there's nothing else to eat or whatever on like a camping trip.
All right.
And then just eating it and going, oh, it was fine actually. And then it was never a problem again.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if I'd had some fucking, you know, bodyguard there to stop me from ever being inconvenienced, I would never have learned a thing.
Right, I see. Yeah.
So
yeah.
In that sense, either you want to get diagnosed, I guess, at like 4.
Yeah.
Or at like 18.
Right.
That's what I would reckon.
How old are you when you got diagnosed?
I was like last year, 31. Yeah,
huh.
Because I'd already done a lot of learning. Yeah. So if I got it early enough, then I would have had, let's presume, ideal case.
Yeah.
Ideal scenario. Loads of help.
Yeah.
Nebulous help.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been great. Or just after school where I've done all the learning and exposure therapy accidentally.
Mm.
And then just before uni so I can deal with it properly in uni, because then that's a big transition.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very different to school. So that would have been good. But any time between then, I think it probably would have changed the level of learning and adjustment I was able to do.
Yeah.
Because I got much better at socializing. I wasn't a picky eater anymore.
Yeah.
So as much as you're not really supposed to recommend it as a course of action, there's an element of difficult exposure therapy that can be helpful.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you need to be electrocuted till you eat your peas or whatever the fuck. But there's an element of that, you know, where it's like, well, it happened incidentally in the course of my attempts to be normal and do normal things like Duke of Edinburgh or camping or whatever.
Oh my God, fucking Duke of Edinburgh.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Because peas aren't going to kill you. Exactly.
And it's not that big a deal really in the world.
Right.
So fine. So yeah, I wouldn't have wanted it during teenage years, but I don't know. Yeah. It would have been useful a few times.
Sure.
Over the last few.
It's interesting because the difference between that kind of like diagnosis, I wish that I'd had my diagnosis years before.
Yeah.
Because mine was so progressive and just got worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
I was like, you know, losing friends left, right and center because of behavioral problems that I just didn't understand. And I wish that I'd understood a long time ago. But it's different. I think it's
well, yeah, like, mine's not getting particularly worse or better.
Yeah.
It might change in its nature.
Yeah.
Apparently it does do that as you get older, but not in a quick way.
We've discussed all this stuff, but what are the things about you? That's my favorite question.
Mm.
What are the things about you that you genuinely really cherish and are grateful for?
Cherish?
Yeah. Or love. What do you think is a great thing about you?
Great.
It can be physical. It can be, I know.
Oh no!
This is the only person who's responded to this question positively was Grace Campbell.
Yeah,
it was literally like, I love it.
She just have a big list ready of.
She was like, I'm just
great things.
She went, I'm just a big fan of myself.
Oh no!
No, it's great.
Come on, Grace. You can't say things like that, can you?
Yeah, she can. You can get away with it.
Lord.
If I did that, they'd be like, you liar.
I'm a big fan of myself. That's like something she's speaking in Mandarin. I don't understand that so much. Great. I don't know.
you can say the obvious things like, is it funny?
Oh, yeah, but that's a thing that I've like worked on.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
You're able to grow a beard?
I am able to grow a beard. That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've come up with a brilliant business idea for stag dudes.
Pie punching? Yeah, that's definitely on the old tombstone. He gave us pie punching.
That'll be on the Wikipedia page before you know it.
Yeah, by the end of the day, I hope.
He gave us pie punching.
He gave us pie punching. And it'll be a big, like, Batman's Parents style fucking tomb. Angels with wings.
And a big pie in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People always standing in front of it in the rain.
Yeah.
Shaking their heads. Man.
Laying down pies.
In the end, it was the pies that got him. He was Frankenstein, you know, taken out by his own invention. He held up a pie and someone punched through it and killed him.
Like Houdini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, punch this pie. And I held up against my abdomen and then it killed me that way.
3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, you just happened to have an appendix.
3 days later, I get hit by a car.
But it was the pies what did it.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I think not.
I think not. I think it was the pies.
We've started a segment of the podcast where we ask for you to say thank you to anyone, anything, anywhere that you particularly love and cherish.
Thank you to anyone and anything, anywhere. Anywhere,
people, places, and things. If you want to say, like, express gratitude.
Are we presuming the obvious are done, assumed?
Yeah.
Can we assume that, like, family, friends, loved ones, etc. are all thanked already?
Well, you can, yeah, sure.
Because it's just to save time, right? Because it's not interesting. Oh, you want to thank your mum, do you? Oh, well, our new special. Obviously your mum. You know, come on.
What about
about unique content.
What about the doctor who annotated the hug test?
Yeah. What's her name? Embrace-autism.com. Yeah. Thanks, lady.
This is like Dr. people lady. Leaving the comedy gig and couldn't remember who changed their life.
What's her name? Engelbrecht.
Nice.
I think, which is a good name for a brain doctor.
100%. I trust anyone with an X on the end.
Yeah, that's right. Very Freud sort of Jung kind of thing.
Yeah.
Tony Atwood for writing the book that made my existential crisis happen. Good work, Tony.
What's the name of the book again?
I've got it on my phone. Let me find it.
Because I can link it down below.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good read. Even if you don't have it, but you know someone who's got it, it would be a good thing to read.
Give it as a gift at Christmas. I just thought that you'd like this.
Give it to them a gift at Christmas. They unwrap it, they'll start reading it, and you can watch their sense of self melt.
They have an existential crisis.
Live in front of you. What is it called? The Complete Guide to Asperger's Syndrome. There you go. Tony Atwood.
Oh, thank God it's an on-the-nose title.
Pretty. He knows that his target audience, prefer literal expression.
Not of
things.
Have any bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And where can we catch you on tour or in London?
Leicester Square Theatre on the 15th of June is the show where I'm afraid the ending is what I've just told you.
Oh, fucking spoiler.
But it's just like the last minute. The routines aren't spoiled.
I want to see it.
Come see that. And then I'm at the Fringe all of August, and then I'm on tour in autumn.
Brilliant.
Pretty much all over the whole country. So just go on my website. And I do a podcast with Phil Wang called Bud Pod that is good fun.
Bud Pod?
Bud Pod.
Oh, Bud Pod.
No, we do it. Bud Pod is a different one I do with a different friend.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So all those places, I guess. And Instagram, blah, blah, blah.
Perfect. I will link everything down
thank
below.
You.
thank you so much for coming
thank you.
To my studio today and for having a conversation with me. And making me laugh so much that my ribs hurt.
Good. That's all I want.
Want people to be in pain.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Join me next week with my other beautiful new friend, comedian Josh Berry. If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at emily_lane_UK. To have your story or your thank you letter read on the podcast, podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favorite place, person, or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.